intro. I'm still on RBN despite many misconceptions to the contrary. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN in what is now Studio B. To see the lineup for Studio A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. RBN is still working on getting out the glitches out of the new system, and... This sucks. Okay, folks, let's try this again. I don't know what's going on. This is Thursday, June 7th, 2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I am still on RBN, despite the many misconceptions to the contrary. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN in what is now Studio B. To see the lineup for Studio A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. RBN is still working on getting the glitches out of the new system and the additions to the stream, so be patient during that process. If any of the listeners have a recording of my second hour for Monday's program, please call 512-246-9549. For some reason, it didn't get recorded. I don't know. It must have been something that I said. To see the guest schedule for this program, please visit the radio schedule page at spingola.com. You may see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. I also have an email list that one may join to receive a weekly announcement of the scheduled guest and any other special announcements. I have linked it to today's date. For questions or comments during the program, email spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna at spingola.com, which I do not access during the program. We will not be taking calls today. My guest today is Veronica Clark. Her website is veraiconapublishers.org. Okay, we're going to a break, and hopefully I will be back.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Our guest today is Veronica Clark. Her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. It's very interesting. I have a lot of wonderful articles. Welcome to the program, Veronica.
Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. We have some new system here at RBN. We have a Studio A and a Studio B. So this is the first week that it has been in operation. So we're just
okay.
We
that
just
explains that. Because yeah, I didn't have you in the contact, and I'm going, wait a minute, I can't even get a call right now, so I had to add it. That
yes.
explains what happened, though.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's just it's just the first week, and so they're working out the glitches, and so people just have to be patient.
Okay. So, all right, so today we're going to talk about Churchill's Deception. Now, I don't know, are you familiar with this book at all?
Yes, I have it.
Okay, and have you read it or parts of it?
Parts of it. In fact, I moved a whole bunch of books upstairs, maybe 30 to 40 books this morning upstairs so that I could have ready access to them.
Okay. All right, so let me just start with some of the main points of his argument. Basically, what Kilter says is that Hitler was really the most innocent party in this whole, convoluted conspiratorial event known as World War II. And the amazing thing is, and, not even Kilter can get around this, is that Hess and Hitler were so honest Everything they said to the British was always their real, true, honest feelings. And the British really took advantage of that and used that, you know, to basically destroy the Third Reich. And Churchill used this whole Hess affair, this, you know, specifically focuses on Hess, to lure both Hitler and Stalin into war with one another so that Britain could kind of sit it out and come back in later and grab the glory and keep her empire.
Okay, so explain to the listeners about the Hess affair, what he did, why he did it, and what his objectives were.
Okay, well, basically, Hess wanted peace with England so that Germany could resolve her territorial disputes, which were being challenged by Russia and, you know, before 1939, Poland as well, all as a result of Versailles. He wanted a peace with England or some kind of agreement or understanding with England that, look, we're not a threat to you. And so he and Hitler worked out a plan that was kind of a last-ditch effort at peace, because so far, the two of them, no matter what they did, and, you know, they were deceived by the so-called peace party, which it was actually run by Churchill and created by Churchill to do just that, deceive them. You know, all their efforts to work out some kind of agreement with this peace party didn't work out. And it was because the British were deliberately stalling for time while they could enact some other strategy that would get Stalin at war with Hitler. And, you know, in turn, Hitler at war with Stalin. So Hess was supposed to be the one to finally seal some kind of deal with England so that Hitler would have an understanding with them and kind of a free hand to check Stalin's advance. So, I mean, that's basically the Hess affair. He landed in Scotland. It had intense preparation. Hitler was fully informed about everything that was going on with this Hess flight. And while we don't have any actual letters or anything that prove that Hitler was, you know, supportive of it, but we have people that overheard things. We have circumstantial evidence, especially this four-hour conversation that Hitler had in complete and absolute privacy with Hess before the flight took place.
Okay.
Behavior of the two and everything suggests that they both planned it.
Yeah, because a lot of people think that Hess just kind of did this on his own. And then even in the book, Hitler makes some sort of an announcement that that Hess had been having some stress issues and that kind of thing. And why did he do that?
The two of them agreed to do that just in case anything went awry and he could potentially be used as, you know, some kind of anti-NSDAP propagandist by the British. Hitler was afraid that the SIS might compromise Hess if he got caught by the wrong people and did not, in fact, get in touch with the peace party as planned. So the agreement between the two was that, and Hess was fully in agreement with it, was that you're going to, you know, declare me insane or say that I went and did this on my own. The man was just totally selfless. Totally selfless.
Okay.
And so, that was it. He sacrificed himself.
And he actually did. I mean, he never got back. He never came back.
Right. And Churchill or Kiltzer says that he believes that Thomas Hughes, this Thomas Hughes doctor wrote a book, and he believes his testimony that the man, prisoner number 7, was not, in fact, Rudolf Hess, that Rudolf Hess was murdered, disposed of, and a double was put in his place. Now, Kiltzer has a little bit of trouble explaining how a double would be convinced to do this, but, you know, intensive psychological brainwashing kind of a thing. It's possible because this doctor inspected Hess, he gave him a thorough physical, and apparently they had had a vote by several thoracic surgeons in a vote of 72-0 saying that prisoner number 7 was not in fact Rudolf Hess, that he had none of the lung damage that Hess would have had having been shot in World War I, and he did not have the scar on his head where he had intercepted a beer mug flying at Hitler with his head, literally.
Right.
There was a big gash there. That was not on prisoner number 7 during this inspection that these doctors did. And Thomas wrote a book about it.
Right.
So that's a huge question mark still. Was that, in fact, Rudolf Hess at the Nuremberg trial? We do note that many of his fellow NSDAP members commented on how bizarre he was acting. They didn't even really recognize the behavior. They're like, what is going on with him?
Okay. And then he was relegated to prison for the rest of his life. And apparently, allegedly, he died in, I don't remember the date.
Is it the 1980s?
Something like that.
Okay, yeah, I don't know the specific date either. 84 is sticking to my head for some reason. I don't know if that's right. But, yeah, either way, it's a horrible thing, because even if this person was a double, the double was strangled to death then. And there's a huge – this is probably one of the most serious cover-ups by any country, certainly in modern history. And the Brits need to come clean on this, and they have not. There are many Hess files that are still classified.
Really?
Yes. They have not given us the full story.
Now, what about Hess's family? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
In what about him? Like?
Well, I mean, did he have this prisoner number 7? Did he have communication or any kind of interaction with Hess's family after his incarceration, after Nuremberg?
He did not for 28 years. The man in Spandau did not allow his family to see him for 28 years. So Kiltzer finds that very strange, very strange,
bizarre.
Because Hess was a big-time family man. And Ilse Hess, his wife, found that very strange, too. And she suspected, she wrote a set of memoirs that the Institute for Historical Review had translated into English and published, Prisoner of Peace, I think it's called. She said that there were still many unanswered questions.
Interesting.
So this is one of those things where, you know, only the British know.
Okay, so if the whole thing that Hess wanted to do was go over and just arrange to have peace, arrange to have some sort of an alliance with the Brits, or as you call them, the Britsies.
Right. Yes, the Britsies.
the British keeping him and really concealing all of these records about this trip and about Hess's objectives is really very, very telling. It's commentary on what the Britsies wanted to do.
Right.
They wanted to go to war.
Absolutely. And Kiltzer affirms that. He said Churchill wanted the war more than anything, and Hitler was trying to end the war in 1939. After the Polish affair, and he was willing. Here's the most amazing thing. This blows everything away. Everything. Even all the Lebensraum nonsense, everything. Hitler was willing to take German troops out of all the places that he had so far moved them into and to leave kind of Kiltzer describes it as a rump Polish state. Okay, it wouldn't be exactly the same Poland because Germany had won. And there were territorial claims that Germany had since the Versailles Treaty. So it was going to go back to a sovereign status, except for just those small territorial claims that Hitler had. And he would secure their sovereignty against any potential Red incursion. And Churchill refused.
So it's obvious that who Churchill favored and what he wanted, and that's what he got. All righty, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com.
Veronica Clark, and if you have a question or a comment, simply address those to spingola1@yahoo.com. And we are talking, or Veronica is talking about Churchill's deception, The Dark Secret that Destroyed Nazi Germany. It is by Louis C. Kilzer, K-I-L-Z-E-R. Okay.
All right, so I'll just go through some of his arguments. Stalin wanted Hess dead. In compromise, he received a life sentence, but as we just went over, he may have in fact been killed and a double put in his place. The question is, why was Stalin so upset by the presence of this man? Why did he want him dead? It's because he found out from his intelligence in 1942 that Churchill had backstabbed him. So, as such, Kilzer argues that the Cold War actually started on October 24th, 1942. Churchill had refused to send more aid to Stalin, and he never had any intention to open a second front against Hitler. So, of course, Stalin was looking at this guy going, that's it. They're not really my allies. I'm being used here. Of course, he had his own little agenda, so, you know, not claiming that Stalin was innocent, but he felt betrayed by Churchill and by extension Roosevelt. You know, why am I not getting the aid I desperately need? I keep telling Churchill what I need. I'm not getting the second front that he continues to promise me. Something's going on. So then this Hess thing, of course, that really opens Stalin's eyes and makes him extra suspicious. So in 1991, the KGB released the cable that touched off the Cold War according to their side. So this is what the Russians said had actually started it, and it concerned Rudolf Hess and his mission. And I won't read the whole thing, but basically all the letters addressed to the Duke of Hamilton that were supposed to be from Hess failed to reach him. They were received by the intelligence service, and that's Britain's intelligence service instead. Hamilton's alleged answers were also written by the intelligence service. This is how the British managed to trick Hess into flying to Britain. Colonel, I think it's Moravec, also said that he saw the Hess-Hamilton correspondence with his own eyes. And according to him, in his letters, Hess sufficiently clearly laid down the plans of the German government and in connection with the attack on the Soviet Union. So the British knew that Hitler was planning something for the Soviet Union, that there was going to be a clash there, but they did not let the USSR know this at the time. So when Stalin finally did learn of it from his agents, he was furious. So, yeah, Hess had not waited to disclose a potential attack on the USSR on May 10th, but actually had mentioned the overall German strategy even before that in correspondence that he thought was being read by the British Peace Party, but which was, in fact, being, you know, received by the security service. Now, the crazy thing is Churchill was the mastermind of the Peace Party deception. So this whole Peace Party thing didn't exist. It was Winston Churchill's deceptive strategy to fool Stalin and Hitler. And so he had them both kind of, you know, guessing around and going, okay, is this, what's going on in Britain? What, is there really a peace party? I mean, Hitler certainly seemed to believe there was some hope for peace. I mean, he would not have sent Hess over there if he didn't think there was a reality behind this.
But, that's interesting. Because the Bolsheviks early on decided to adopt a peace mentality, and they said, oh, and this was during the First World War, and Lenin went in and Trotsky, and they said, oh, we've got to have peace, and so they often hide behind that kind of a facade, saying that all we want is peace, and that's a good way of entrapping others.
Right. Thank
you. Yes.
Yeah, they say one thing but do the other. And for some reason, people believe what's being said and not what's actually being done. So even though the actions contradict the language sounds louder. It resounds louder amongst most people. And then when you add some elements of deception and you're, you know, putting agents out there that get in contact with Hess and Hitler and this kind of thing, they, you know, get in contact with these people that win them over with their personalities, et cetera, so they think it's real. The human dynamic gets in there. It gets very complicated quickly. So people are misled and deceived by this peace talk. It's kind of like, you know, democracy goes out and wages war for peace. And we have to make the world peaceful and safe for democracy, so we have to go blast everyone away and occupy their countries.
Right.
It's the same principle. Well, we do it for peace. And Americans overwhelmingly support that. We have to go do this for peace.
And kill a bunch of people in the process.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Soviet media referred to this so-called peace party as the Cliveden set or clique. So that's how they referred to it. You know, and as we know, Stalin was in the midst of planning his own attack against Hitler, which was set for 1942. But
hold
he
that
thought.
Okay. Veronica, we do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hey, John, you know, we were kind of wondering
what?
That, well, we knew you guys were saving stuff and getting ready for something like
yes.
this.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say
the is, answer's no.
Man, I've been your friend for 20 years. We played on the company softball team together.
We simply don't have enough food.
But I'm your friend.
Look, Norbert, I came to you 3 years ago. And you basically called me crazy and walked away.
But...
sorry.
Bummer.
Folks, they may be rolling their eyes at you now, but they'll be on your front porch when it all hits the fan. So why don't you mosey on over to TexasReady.net and order up a Liberty Seed Bank for you, your shirt-tailed relatives, and all your non-prepping friends. Order your bank at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Veronica Clark. Her website is Vera Icona Publishers, all one word, VeraIconaPublishers.org. all righty. Pick up where we left off. You know, it's very interesting that Germany made several attempts during World War I for peace, just in exactly the same way that they did during the first part of World War II.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Stalin was in the midst of planning his own attack. We've gone over that with Stalin's Folly, set for 1942. This, of course, was sped up because of the Hess Affair, because he thought that Hitler would deprive Britain of its oil gas supply by landing troops in Iraq and Syria and checkmating through Egypt, and then move against Russia. Stalin had intelligence that something might eventually happen, you know, with regards to Ukraine, Baltics, Balkans. And, I mean, he was planning his own strategy for those various states. And he had invaded Finland and all this other stuff. So, you know, he had his own plans. But he realized that he wouldn't actually be ready until 1942. So, you know, Stalin wasn't in a rush like Hitler was. And this may be why Stalin refused to see that he was actually under attack when Barbarossa started. I've given alternative explanations for the fact that he did absolutely nothing to stop the German attacks. in the initial days, the first 10 days of Barbarossa. It's mind-boggling that Stalin just sat there and told everybody to do nothing, to, you know, not resist. But he may have interpreted the attacks along his borders as conjoint British-German provocations intended to move him to war. So it's possible that Stalin thought that. This would be one other alternative explanation for his behavior. I certainly don't think he ignored his intelligence, which is what Pleshikov suggests in Stalin's Folly, because he believed his intelligence on the Hess affair. And he's going, wait, what's going on with Hess? I mean, I'm hearing truce negotiations now, and, you know, he suspected some kind of covert German-British alliance, so he believed that, so why wouldn't he believe his intelligence about a potential German attack?
So, yes, which you know, is very interesting.
Yeah, I'm a little leery of that argument that he didn't trust his intelligence. But when Hess landed in Scotland to start what Stalin was told were truce negotiations, he became much more suspicious of his British ally and as a result sped up his own preemptive war plans. So then, you know, Hitler really was literally preempting the man by a matter of weeks, because he sped up his strategy by a lot. Another agent with alleged ties to the German high command informed Moscow that Hess had not in fact defected, as declared by some, including the German government, but had traveled to Britain with Hitler's tacit approval. Another agent informed Moscow that if England agreed to a German-English peace, Germany would, quote, immediately attack the USSR, end quote. So this is what Stalin's hearing, as soon as this Hess affair is going down. And this is from various of his agents that were based in Britain. And the truth is that the peace party in Britain was created by the SIS and Churchill was in charge of it. So both Stalin and Hitler had been deceived by Churchill. And Hess had allegedly told his British contacts that, quote, if England continued to fight in the West, we would have to eliminate it after we had eliminated Russia. Whether or not Hess actually said that, we'll never know for sure. But right. I'm sure there was some kind of, you know, some kind of statement like that going, look, we want to reach an understanding with you so that we can deal with Russia because we see that Stalin is starting to gear up for something here. And, I mean, Hitler had more than enough intelligence on his own end, seeing that Stalin was moving and doing something. And, of course, the troop movements. So if true, Churchill withheld this knowledge from Stalin as part of his grand strategy to get Germany and Russia at each other's throats. Churchill wanted Britain to sit back as long as possible and then finally come back into the war to claim victory once he knew for sure that Russia was exhausted and Germany totally defeated. And that's, in fact, exactly what happened. Because, right. I mean, even Stalin was exhausted by the end of that whole thing. Russia had really been bled white. I mean, they weren't going to be having no major war anytime soon. With the numbers they lost and just the destruction incurred on their side, it was incredible. And Stalin was basically thinking, I'm fighting your war for you, Churchill. This is insane. So, you know, he was furious.
Now, Churchill has always been compromised. Who do you think that he was working for?
Churchill?
Yes. I mean, he'd been...
Well, he sure was pro-Zionist, and he played a pivotal role in just the whole creation and legitimization of Israel. There's a book written on that. I have to look it up on the break. I can't think of it right now, but... You know, everybody goes, oh, yeah, Hitler founded Israel. But no. Churchill was really one of the movers behind that whole thing. And, of course, British government itself.
Absolutely.
The Balfour Declaration.
I covered that in my second book about who he was working for. And, I mean, this started with World War One, and, it just wasn't completed yet.
Right. And, I mean, and the fact that Britain's real problem wasn't Hitler or the NSDAP, but the size of Germany, and thereby, by extension, you know, the power of Germany and their influence in the world, and especially on the continent, that was the real issue. And that certainly goes back to World War One and before. So this really had nothing to do with Hitler. The reason the British opposed Hitler in particular and said his removal is necessary for peace is because he, unlike other German leaders, was able to unite Germany under kind of a federal government. Germany had pretty much been just almost sovereign states, loosely unified by kind of the German idea. It wasn't like the United States, where it was unified under kind of a strong central government. That really didn't come until Hitler came into the picture with the whole coordination, the Gleichschaltung that everyone screams about. But that was no different than what the United States did during its own state unification process under a central government. So the state governments became subordinate to the central government of Berlin, where before Bavaria wanted to become its own nation. They were separatists. So that's why Hitler had to go, because Britain saw him as the unifier of Germany and making it much stronger than it had been even before. And they said, that man has got to go. And, you know, as soon as he's out of the picture, Germans won't be united anymore. That was the theory. And the thing is Churchill's peace plan deception was intended to lull not only Hitler, but Goering, Rosenberg, and Hess into a false sense of security about German aims and English acceptance of those aims. And they eventually lured Hess to Britain to deceive Stalin. And in order to keep the Germans from realizing that they'd been had by Churchill himself, the British kept totally silent about Hess. So, you know, this surprised Goebbels and other NSDAP members. They couldn't believe that the English weren't attributing some kind of horror stories or lies to Hess in order to damage Germany, but they didn't. Everything was totally quiet. So,
yeah, which was, I found very interesting. I mean, they could have made a really big deal about it in the newspapers, the British press, but they really didn't.
Right, and that's because they had potential other plans.
Right.
Churchill wanted to be very careful what he said and how much he said and to whom, so that he wouldn't mess up his strategy here.
Wow.
Yeah. He wanted to use that man to maximum advantage.
Yes, and that is really takes some planning. I mean, this didn't just happen. Right. It wasn't all a coincidence. You know, things that happen usually happen for a purpose. You know, they really do.
Yeah, this definitely isn't something one could throw together quickly. This took some real hard thinking on his and the SIS's part. It's very diabolical, too, the way they just used this man.
It is diabolical.
If Hitler had done that to a British person, we would never hear the end of it. Never.
Right. It's like some American politicians, they act like they're just so inept and they're just so ineffective. And no matter what they do, it just seems to falter and fail. And then they blame it on, well, my gosh, you know, we did the best we could and we simply couldn't, you know, it was just out of our control, out of our hands.
Right.
And so, you know, and yet it is really very, very deliberate. When something happens, when something fails, it is usually very deliberate. And that's the way the politicians play it. That's the way propaganda artists play things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it reminds me of the whole 9/11 thing. Well, it was just, you know, it was the incompetence and the bungling. No one is that stupid and incompetent. That's nonsense. That's why I didn't accept it.
Right.
I said, no one is this stupid in government. No.
Because there was so much bungling, and nobody ever got arrested, or nobody lost their job.
And it's the same story. I mean, same thing with Pearl Harbor. Well, you know, we didn't realize. No, you did realize. You wanted it to happen. You know, Churchill knew it was coming, and Roosevelt knew it was coming, and they planned for it that way. That was the back door into World War II, was with the Japanese assault. So, yeah, this is a common theme that continues to pop back up. Now, Hess, or so the Germans thought, had resumed contact with the NSDAP from Britain. This was after, you know, several days had passed, no one hears anything. And, you know, they're like, oh, letters, okay. Now, his quote-unquote letters were sent to Karl Burkhardt, who was a British agent. in Geneva, Switzerland, and retrieved by Walter Schellenberg, who was head of German intelligence. I believe he was in charge of the Abwehr. Thus, we may assume that Hitler was reassured, unknown to him by the SIS, of course, that there would be no second front and that he was being given a free hand against the USSR by none other than the Peace Party. So we have to ask the question, did Hitler believe that Hess's mission had been a success? He did call off Sea Lion. He did stop bombing Britain and did not resume doing so until Britain had finally resumed her own bombing campaign in September of 1944, and the British 8th Air Force was used for the landing in North Africa until then, which, you know, Stalin considered next to worthless. Torch, as it was called, not only ended the bombing of Germany for a long time, but diverted British warships, thereby harming the convoy missions upon which Stalin depended. So, you know, Hitler was seeing kind of, okay, the bombing just stopped. You know, I can call off Sea Lion. It seems to me the British are knocked out of this war. Maybe Hess achieved what I sent him to achieve. It seems like Britain's out.
My goodness.
It may well be that he believed it. And so he, you know, went full force against the Soviet Union. And then Britain comes back in 1944 with incredible, relentless bombing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. How incredibly, as its name, Churchill's deception.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. And,
well,
and of course,
yeah.
What else would they think? That of course, Hess's objectives worked. And now we can get on with the real bad enemy,
right.
One that everybody should have been fighting against, alongside the Germans.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, I mean, they kept luring him along. Hess was sending letters, which were really sent by the SIS. You know, they kept the ploy going, and Churchill did just enough to make it look like, you know, Britain was trying so hard for the USSR, but just, you know, I can't get my parliament to go along with, or whatever the nonsense, you know, to keep Stalin kind of, okay, what's going on here? So yeah, he fully exploited it. And even the Americans noted that Churchill was, quote, exploiting the German-Soviet bloodbath to secure British colonial interests in the Middle East, end quote.
Wow.
So, you know, the Americans weren't even told everything. Churchill wouldn't even tell Roosevelt what was going on. He kept telling Roosevelt, oh, yeah, Hitler's coming. He's coming for the fleet. He's coming for you. I mean, it's just this total madness. They peddled all kinds of false stories about Hitler, including a potential Axis assault using Mexicans and Mexican migrant workers to lure America into fighting the war that Britain couldn't fight. So, you know, the Axis was going to be behind the Zoot Suit riots and all this nonsense to try to keep America out of the war. This was a covert British mission authorized by Churchill against the United States, his supposed ally.
Right. Who was authorized by who? Churchill was authorized by the bankers.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Churchill also said that Hitler planned to invade America and seize the entire British fleet. And he kept screaming, oh, the fleet, you know, if we lose the fleet, it's end game. It'll be all over. He'll be in Britain and he'll conquer the world from there. And Roosevelt's sucking it up like, you know.
I wonder if he was.
I wonder if he was, too. It's like, did you really believe that, Roosevelt? Or are you just going to use that to tell the Americans to get him into your war that you want to? Because he was really a warmonger, too.
And they started basically in 1936 in the U.S.
Exactly.
Building to get ready for war, and they are the ones that literally, you know, sucked the Japanese into bombing Pearl Harbor. I think the Zionists planned this all along, and of course, Roosevelt used those claims. Oh, Hitler's going to come over and invade the United States. Well, he could barely invade Britain. How could he possibly invade the United States, where everybody would be talking German now?
Right. It's so stupid, the whole invasion of the United States. The absolute worst thing Hitler ever would have done to the United States was well into the war, towards the end, we're talking 44, early 45, hit the, you know, eastern seaboard.
With the submarines.
Or potentially bombings, but you know, there's no evidence that there was ever a plan to bomb New York or any of the stuff that people say, the America bomber thing, the America rocket that Joseph Farrell talks about. Yeah, there were plannings for some kind of long-range bombers, but more than likely, those would have been used against Britain and the Soviet Union, not America. Right. But again, by that time, Hitler had more than enough excuse to hit the United States in retaliation and try to get us back out of the war. So, you know, I'm not going for this, oh, America had to fight for her defense. No, no. She never needed to enter that war at any point.
Right. All righty. We do have to take a break. We will be right back after our word from our sponsors. So stay tuned.
Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Back. Our guest today is Veronica Clark. Her website is Vera Icona Publishers, all one word, VeraIconaPublishers.org. And, of course, it is linked on the radio schedule page. Yes, it is very interesting how people use ineptness, which is deliberate, in order to get away with, sabotage, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, and more than likely, Hess had never more than once or twice actually communicated with the Duke of Hamilton, who he thought he was talking to, who was supposed to be the person in the Air Ministry who was, you know, first and foremost amongst this revolt within the ministry against Churchill for the Peace Party. You know, Hess knew of this Air Ministry conspiracy, so that's where the Duke of Hamilton comes in. Instead, the SIS had been writing for the Duke of Hamilton, who was compromised by a treason charge, a trumped-up, nonsensical one, but that, you know, SIS could have ran to the public with or whatever, and that's how they do it, and thus used by the SIS to lure Hess to Scotland on a peace-seeking mission. So the Duke of Hamilton was used as a pawn to lure Hess. He wasn't, in fact, even writing these letters. It's just, it's really awful what happened there. Very diabolical. Does not speak well of wartime Britain, that's for sure.
Or Britain, you know, I mean, their track record is very, very faulty.
I mean, I can't defend it, honestly. Not World War One, not World War Two,
the Boer Wars, their invasion of China, and the Opium Wars, two Opium Wars.
Right. It's crazy. And yet they're seen as these kind of peaceful, loving, tolerant people. Again, it's the rhetoric trumping the actions.
Right.
Very strange. And the thing is Hitler and Hess had gotten in contact with the Duke of Hamilton by this Mrs. Roberts, such and such, in Portugal. Well, this woman is virtually unknown, but she was an agent of Britain, too. And so, you know, you have this huge web of British agents all willingly doing this deceptive work against the NSDAP. And, I mean, even Goering was had, you know. It's just terrible. And, of course, the Germans being these very open, very honest people, thinking the British were coming to them kind of very openly as well, divulged everything. Goering was even giving the Duke of Hamilton, under a different name, tours of the Luftwaffe, you know, aircraft, telling him about the aircraft, showing him all this stuff, going hunting with the guy, telling him everything. Yes, we want a peace. We want peace with an understanding with Britain, and our real aims are in the East. And I'm going, this is just unbelievable. So, you know, the Germans didn't lie. They didn't hold anything back. This idea that Hitler was this lying, maniacal, conniving man who threw out a peace feeler just for pretend, absolutely demolished in this book. And like I've said before, Kilter is not pro-Hitler.
My goodness. All righty. We will be back after our 60-second top of the hour break. I'm trying to read emails and talk at the same time. We'll be back after our station ID.